going through the doctrines. I'm not sure where we are, like 15 or somewhere in there, but we're almost to the end of our statement of faith. And so where we're at today is talking about the church. This is an easy one for us, and I say easy because we cover it all the time. It's very, very important to us because it determines how we do what we do and how we talk about what we talk about and how we minister here and in the nations. But the statement is that we believe the one holy universal church is the body of Christ, and it's comprised of all who have been gathered into Christ. Let me read it again. We believe the one, not multiple, holy universal, that's sometimes it's Catholic in certain versions, it means the universality, universal church, is literally the body of Christ, the living body of Christ, and it's comprised of all those who have been born again, and meaning they've been gathered into Christ. We highly value a biblical ecclesiology, and that's just a big word for meaning the study of the church, a theology on the church. We believe that what you believe about the church will determine, obviously, how you function in the church, and especially how you minister to the church. Ecclesiology is the study of the church, specifically of its nature, what it is, and of its manifestation, what it does. Okay? There's the reality of what the church is, which is very important to understand, and there's a lot of warfare around misunderstanding that. And then, obviously, the manifestation, the nature of what it does, how it bears fruit. The word ekklesia is the Greek word for church that we have. It's a church is a Latin word that's placed in there that's been Englishized, and it's in the place where the Greek word ekklesia is, which means literally a called-out assembly, specifically gathered in a place. So that's what church means. When it says, Jesus says, upon this rock I'll build my church, he's saying, upon this rock I'll build my ecclesia. I'll build a people gathered into a place for a purpose. That was a common word in those days that talked about a governmental gathering for a certain purpose and a certain mission. So it was a word they would have been familiar with as a people. So ecclesia is that word. It is a people gathered in a place for that purpose, and we believe the place that they're gathered is Christ. Not a building, not a location, not a state, a nation. We believe that the great gathering place of the body of Christ is in Christ. In Christ is the phrase used most by the apostles in the New Testament. There's 200 variations of that phrase. In Christ, from Christ, by Christ, that kind of thing, but it's all in Him. So we have been taken out of Adam, as we talk about, and put into Christ, and everyone that's in Christ is the church of the living God. Spiritually speaking, it is that every believer that is gathered there. So, three central convictions about the church, and here they are, and they're basic. It's what we believe. Number one, Jesus is the builder of the church. Matthew 16:18. And I tell you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Our conviction is that the rock that he's speaking of is not Peter himself. The rock is the context of the passage, which was the great and ultimate question on planet Earth, which is, who do you say I am? Jesus says to his 12, who do you say that I am? That's the ultimate question on planet Earth, okay? Not necessarily what you say about even various other theology things or what you say even about yourself. It's what do you say about the Jewish man born 2,000 years who claimed that he was God and that he was born of a virgin and resurrected from the dead, died on the cross, as you know. What do you say? And the answer was, obviously, that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, we believe, number two, that Jesus builds that church upon the revelation of himself. Matthew 16:17, and Jesus answered, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for that answer you gave. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So what we understand here is that the Lord builds the church, and he builds it upon a spiritual heavenly revelation. It's not built upon, my mama was a Methodist, my daddy was a Baptist. That's not what the church is built upon. It's not built upon brick or mortar. It's not built upon organization. It's built upon a heavenly spiritual revelation that there is raging war over. The enemy spends most of his time, I believe, not just trying to affect social strata and various things that are, you know, abortion, da-da-da-da-da. We know there's many evil things that are happening. But I tell you, this is the area that the enemy spends most time on, and that is the perversion of the revelation of who Jesus Christ was. because it's the ultimate deal. You got to decide who you believe this man was. He's the most popular man in all of history. We said here at 2013 AD, Adonai, after the birth of our Lord. Everything's BC. The whole planet is centered around him. There's more documentation that Jesus existed than anything in all of history. It's the most logical thing to know that he lived, that he died, and I believe that he resurrected. But it takes a spiritual revelation to know who this unique God-man was. Number three, Jesus builds this church with what are called living stones, which are born-again believers. In Ephesians 2:22, it says, "In him, you, believers, are being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit." The whole Old Testament was around a tabernacle and a temple where God would dwell in a specific land. I tell you now, this is all about you, a people. The temple was a prophetic sign of a people that would come. God is now dwelling, not in brick and mortar. He's dwelling in us and us together. So 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5, as you come to him, a living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we see here that Jesus is building. He's the one doing the building, not men. I could build. God forbid that men build the church. We want what Jesus builds. Men do build, but Jesus builds. Jesus builds the church. He does it by the power of the Holy Spirit. He does it based on people who've got a heavenly revelation and have been born again and gathered into Christ. And then he uniquely links them together in relationship that they might be the very dwelling place of God. So we believe that the church is not a meeting. The church is not a building. The church is not an organization, although she can meet in a building and she can have meetings and she organizes. But rather, she is a people built together in relationship together in Christ. So we are a organic, living relationship. Now remember this, the Godhead is a relationship. That's why God's into community, because the Godhead is one but three. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For all eternity, they've been having what's called relationship. God's built everything on that. You're not a church because you go to somewhere. You know that, I know. But you could go somewhere and sit somewhere and have no relationship with the living stones. That's not church. The church is when we come together. That's why we love what we do here and we know its part as an equipping ministry. But we highly value house churches and small groups and cell groups and little gatherings of twos and threes and sevens and tens where the body is relating one to another. And again, not just in meetings, but in your family, wherever you be. Because you know what? Where you are is where the church is. Where we are is where the church is. In a real sense, the word church for us is plural for the word disciple. Now, I know linguistically, disciples would be the plural word for disciple, but you know what I mean. We believe that the church is really just a fellowship of multiple disciples. The church is not just one person, one disciple. It's multiple disciples, and that's why we like to emphasize that we don't want to get the cart before the horse. Teaching guys in Africa, in Asia, in various places that are ministering, we're begging them, do not get the cart before the horse. You do not build the church. We do not produce a church and then hope for disciples. That's backwards. We make disciples, and the church emerges. The church begins to develop, because that's what disciples do. Disciples have a holy, divine community. We're holy with one another. We pray with one another. We execute the promises of God together as we become his dwelling place. We believe in the church. We highly value the church, and we believe that your biblical ecclesiology is very important so that you understand what we are and what we are not. Because our identity is very, very important. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would seal up this word that's so common among us, really. We thank you for it. I thank you for the good news I'm seeing from so many reports in so many denominations where people are using this exact biblical language and having this perception. We pray for more and more of that as the church is released from any kind of institutional chains and is set free to be the Spirit-filled, organic, living, weak, struggling, but sons of God. Lord, we just pray that your power would continue to plant the church and send the church as we understand what it is that you're building. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.